one of the finest jazz trombonists in the world today. That's Steve Turry with Rainbow People. It's the title track from his 2008 critically acclaimed album. Steve Turry is also known, he has a distinction, which he created all by himself, of introducing seashells as musical instruments in his compositions. This is Lead Stories. I'm Latrice Lead. And we're talking today. Oh my gosh. I mean, it keeps getting worse and worse every single day. But we're talking about what seems to be a twilight zone. You know, you remember the long running series back in the 60s, The Twilight Zone, which continued to suggest that many of us are operating in an alternate universe. And sometimes people came back from that alternate universe, or sometimes they were quite content living in an alternate universe, which the ordinary mind just could not comprehend, and which was outside the full breadth of our experience as human beings on the planet. And I talk about the Twilight Zone today because it seems that's where we're living now, or we've been living for a while, in the sense that it's been only 2 years. And the Twilight Zone that has been introduced to the United States and in many other parts of the world, the Twilight Zone has millions and millions of occupants who just can't seem to understand what is happening. They're not sure what world they're living in. And the more you try and tell them about it, the more they resist. And that is why, and I want to raise this question today, despite all that is said about President Donald J. Trump, has he, in just 2 years, been able to create a kind of twilight zone in the United States where people just seem confounded and immobilized and terrified? That was one of the themes of the Twilight Zone, that people become paralyzed with fear, even to act in their own interests. They don't move. They don't want to face the facts. They don't want the reality of the world to actually descend upon them. They want to pretend that what they are witnessing with their own eyes, what they are feeling, somehow will go away. It's the only explanation I have for why we are where we are today. I keep going over in my mind, what might the reason be, or reasons, what might the reasons be that a president who has in fact held up the country, pulled a bank hold up kind of thing, goes into a bank, pulls a gun out, demands all the money in the vault, and then threatens to kill everybody if he doesn't get it. And damned if it isn't working. people are trying to rustle up the kind of money he wants. He only wants $5.7 billion to build himself a wall. And the reason is national security. All of a sudden, there is reason, a national security reason, to build a wall on the southern border of the United States with Mexico. Well, that's one thing. And we have become accustomed to his outrageous conduct and behavior and his uneven mind. I'm being very kind here. But what is particularly unnerving is that there is an unusual amount of cooperation with the insanity coming out of the White House. And you would think that people would say, well, no, this just, he did this and we looked the other way. He did that, we looked the other way. But now, pulling a stick up of more than 800,000 workers, this number has not left my brain, commanding them essentially, ordering them, even as he draws a paycheck, the vice president, oh, by the way, because he's such a good Christian man, he decided that he would forego his raise for the time being, and he will just take his regular salary and defer his raise. Members of Congress are getting paid. The marginally competent members of the Trump family are getting paid. But the gun is at the head of people who have nothing at all. They are in no way involved in this debacle. They are simply federal employees. And here's a president of the United States breaking all kinds of laws in people's faces and essentially saying, I could order you to work without pay. I could do that. I could force you to work. And of course, you understand implicitly what the alternative is. If you do not work without pay, you lose your job. I cannot imagine, in the face of what this president has been doing in the last 3 weeks, and even before that, of course, but certainly this business of conducting a stick-up of more than 800,000 workers, and this country still remains governable. I don't get that. We must all have been administered some kind of a drug without us not knowing it to make us fall asleep, to addle our brains. I want to read you a newspaper article that I read over the weekend. It is titled, Hungary, Unions Call for Strike Protests Over Labor Law. This is Hungary. I'll read you an excerpt of the article. Union leaders in Hungary called on Saturday for a national strike and protests on January the 19th to oppose labor code changes they see as a slave law harmful to workers. A slave law. A crowd of at least 10,000 people gathered outside the Hungarian Parliament building to protest a law approved in December that allows employers to request up to 400 hours of overtime a year from employees. Imagine that. It's the same scenario we're facing here. Hungarian Trade Union Federation President Laszlo Kordas said the unions are demanding the repeal of the slave law, higher wages, increased workers' rights, and a more flexible retirement system. They plan to present them to Prime Minister Viktor Orban, and if the government refuses to negotiate, the unions will hold the strike, he said. Now, two different attitudes. Two different attitudes. Here we have a president, a renegade president, making up his own labor laws, violating the heck out of laws on the books, compelling people to work without pay. And these are federal workers, supposedly covered by contracts and by the law. And we are now in the third week of a stick-up. And people are wondering, well, you know, should we sit down and negotiate? And there's nothing to negotiate. The issue is not even about the wall, the so-called wall. Excuse me. The issue is a lawless president taking unprecedented action against American workers. That's the issue. Who have nothing to do with his demand for $5.7 billion to build a wall. And he has announced over the weekend that if they don't come to terms with him, if Congress just does not yield to this demand, he'll start cutting necessary aid, humanitarian aid, to people who receive food stamps. Now you tell me, do we need any further proof that this president has an entirely different idea about what this alleged democracy is all about? How things are supposed to be done? And let's be clear, he is not arguing. I mean, he's put out there that this is a matter of national security. No, it is not. National security is the cover argument. He will do well with that argument because it is the population being targeted here are the brown people on the other side of the border, whether they're coming from Central or South America. This gets a lot of mileage because here is our racist president undergirding a specious argument about border security, but in the meantime, predicating it, his rationale is these animals coming from Central and South America, these rapists and murderers are affecting, he's appealing to white people. They are despoiling the racial purity of the United States. Apart from the issue of so-called crime, he seems to have no problem with no wall on the northern border with Canada, where white refugees come through, or New York City, where Europeans come through, illegal Europeans come through. And no problem there. They are not a threat to white America. So the argument would not really work unless he has a population willing to listen to his racist rationale that national security and border security is the same thing, because on the southern border with Mexico, we have the wrong kind of people seeking asylum in the United States. And he is going ahead with this argument, but it is a cover for what I believe is the true issue here. This $5.7 billion budget would be one of the largest government-sponsored construction projects in the United States. It will run at the cost, it is estimated, of about $24 to $25 million per mile for this so-called border to be built. Now, think for a minute. Trump is in the construction business. His son-in-law is in the construction business. Real estate business. And this is how the corrupt leaders of this country, this is how they organize their afterlife, their political afterlife. They ram through Congress by any means necessary. These mega projects, they put forward false arguments, or certainly deceptive arguments, so that people would find these arguments logical and something that four previous presidents have said is not necessary. Many high-ranking military people have said this is not necessary. Members of Congress, both in the House and in the Senate, have said this is not necessary. Polls are showing that people, a lot of folks, are saying they don't need this wall. We don't need this wall. But Trump is actually building or organizing his financial afterlife. This is how they do it. I can't remember the name of the senator. It doesn't come to mind right away. Who, upon retiring from Congress, gave himself a gift of a $4 billion reservoir that everybody said was not necessary and that was going to be named after him. This is how they do it. This is how they exploit and steal money from and divert money from taxpayer dollars to pad their own financial futures. Do you know what kind of political mileage they could get out of a project, one construction project? And you could reward all these people who are with you, and you can bring other people into your fold, awarding them even chunks of this wall, to build chunks of this wall, is a boondoggle of mammoth proportions. It is not about a wall. It is a project meant to secure the financial futures of people named Trump and his pals and his friends. Even if this wall were necessary to secure the border and for national security, why are we not having this discussion in Congress, where things of this nature are supposed to be debated? Because Trump is already signaling that he's going to put his hand in the public till and take the money that he wants, whether people want him to do it or whether they allow him to do it or not. He can do anything he wants. And here we are. We are watching threats, a direct threat. Now, this is not implied. This is not something that could happen as a result of a legitimate issue. This renegade president went off on his own project. He decided, I need to get $5.7 billion, and I'm powerful, and I'm president of the United States, and nobody could stop me. That money will go a long way. And mind you, we have to remind ourselves, this president is in deep financial straits. He is in deep financial trouble. He is in deep legal trouble. And he needs money. Investigations are swirling. At least almost 20 investigations are alive that have Trump at the center of them. He is in deep trouble. There are a lot of people who at this very moment are looking to him. Look, we could help you, but you've got to grease the palm. Hence, we suddenly have this urgently needed project that would cost $5.7 billion. And I guarantee the bidding process will be rigged just like the voting process. Who will end up with the contracts? What is the plan? Who is discussing the design and so forth? Who is passing on all of this? Congress doesn't know. And they are the people who appropriate. They have the Appropriations Committee. They are the ones who are expected to appropriate the money to build this wall. And we're sitting here with the lives of more than 800,000 people. This is more than the population of several small countries. And in America, in the United States, labor-loving America, there is silence. People have mortgages. They have their children's tuition to pay. They have phone bills and utility bills to pay and car notes. They have a federal job. And out of nowhere comes a gangster and says, I will make you pay. I will squeeze you. You have nothing to do with this insanity. But I'll take it out on you. Meanwhile, he's getting paid. The vice president is getting paid. The Trumps are getting paid. But the president of the United States, blatantly disregarding rules and labor law, puts 800,000 people's, working people's lives on the line and doesn't even lose a wink of sleep about it. In fact, he says, he is prepared to go a year or more, maybe. But you know, he is a megalomaniac, so while people would say, well, I don't think so, the fact is he said it. He has threatened people, poor people, on food stamps. I'll cut you off. I'll make you starve. This is the action of a level-headed president, of a sane man. And we are here. I don't see anything suggesting a general strike. I don't see the unions taking to the streets. I don't see a sense of urgency about this. Not because of whether Trump wants his money and you know, the tit for tat that's going on, but the fact that this president has taken dead aim at vulnerable people should not be tolerated. You know, we can't tolerate it. I just read you an excerpt of a story about people in Hungary equating a law. Of course, this law came about because of pals and leadership cozying up between labor and the leadership, the political leadership, requiring people to give 400 free hours a year of their labor for no pay. What do they call it? The slave law. And they've already hit the streets about it. They will not honor a slave law. Trump has enacted a slave law requiring people to go without a paycheck on specious grounds, which basically come right back to him. You cannot decide. I don't care how powerful you think you are. You are still accountable in this arrangement we call it a democracy. The Congress has to vote. You have to put your proposal to the public. You have to say what is this about? You have to justify the need. You have to make your argument in public. You know, have this gangster, hoodlum, hood rat kind of approach to public office. And you're getting away with it. So the question is, we must be living in the twilight zone. We've got to be in a twilight zone because nobody finds it offensive enough to protest this. And in the space of 1 week, he has indicated, this is part of his terrorist attitude. If I can do this to 800,000 workers, I'll do it to people getting food stamps. I'll cut, what else is next? I'll cut government grants to people going to college. I'll hurt the most vulnerable people. I'm prepared to gouge their eyes out. This is the action of our so-called president. And we are very calm. We must know something. Or we, as residents now of the Twilight Zone, because we've let so much of his, so many of his atrocities go without proper response, without swift and proper response. It's no big deal. What I'm saying for the record, it bothers me that, as I said, as many people working in federal jobs as more than the population of many small countries, what has happened to us that we don't give a damn? What has happened to us that we can't see the logical progression of this behavior? What is it that we can't make sense of this insanity? What will it take for us to respond? Even the unions representing these workers. What will it take for us to salvage this situation? I'm not talking specifically about this one thing. I'm saying that this is symptomatic of what will be happening in these United States. And the cohorts and allies of the United States abroad. Hungary gave us an example just this past weekend. They were correct. This is a slave law. If you want evidence of fascism, this is it. If you want evidence of corruption, this is it. If you want evidence of an insane mind that has been given wide berth, free agency to do whatever he wants to do. And all we keep hearing about are the meetings and negotiations. What do you negotiate? What do you negotiate when the guy in the bank has a gun to your head and says, give me all the money in that vault or I will kill everybody? Everybody is an equal target to me. And I'm in charge because I have the weapon. We have to ask ourselves some very serious questions. What the hell has happened to us? Who are we waiting for to fix this? And by this, I mean this lopsided arrangement that in 2 years, this man has turned the so-called ways of doing things upside down and inside out. He, in effect, has done away with the so-called democratic process, with the Constitution. And all of us are his possible targets. He has moved. It takes quite a bit of guts. And you have to have certain knowledge of the support that there is for you to do these kinds of gangster moves. It takes a lot of guts to take aim at 800,000 people. And next come those people who need to be supported, including children. And we're sitting as if, well, you know, we can't do anything about it. We dare not even speak about it in public. I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to ask you the question, what do you think is going on here? Right after this. RN.FM. I'm your Teresa Lead. We're talking about this twilight zone we are inhabiting that has apparently successfully done us in, made us lose our minds along with the President of the United States. But he knows what he's doing. And again, I remind you, this is not about national security. This is about the biggest construction project in a long, 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 long time that he can use taxpayer money for to build on his own fortunes and those of his friends. 888-874-4888. I am so troubled by this. I'm troubled by the lack of response. I'm troubled by the fact that we are letting this man run roughshod over what people keep talking about as the American system, the democratic system. And we're seeing corruption straight in our faces, and it's as if we're terrified. In 2 years, he has decided that it's a one-man show. This country belongs to Donald Trump. He can do whatever he wants with it, and there's nothing you can do and nothing I can do about it. Gwen from New York, you're on the air at 888-874-4888. Hi, Gwen.
Hi, Therese. Well, all I got to say is you're on today. You are on, girl. Thank you for your wonderful description of what's going on. But I want to agree, one, and two, I want to say it is only symptomatic, though, of everything that trickles down in American life. I think that the apathy is also unbelievable in our country. It is unbelievable. And there's also this feeling that I'm going to get a piece of the action. Everybody's in on it. And I remember, and I live in a very poor district, and some of the biggest capitalists I've met are in my own district. And the reason they feel that someday they're going to get a piece of this action. So I think that when we come to the table in America, we come to the table with a corrupt mindset to start with. Like, if you don't really know how it is, like, you're kind of naive and stupid. Don't you really get, you got to grease some palms. If you just, you know, if you just look the other way, things will go more smoothly. As a matter of fact, it happens to me when I'm out there campaigning with my people. You know, do you always have to say that, Gwen? Can't you just, you know, look the other way? Can't you just, you know, just let that go? And, you know, I guess that I find that really troubling. I find that troubling that common people, everyday common people, this is our mindset. We don't expect more from this country. So I think that when it comes to Trump, two things will happen here. You're right. It is a huge construction job, and that construction is the only game in town in our country right now. All of the manufacturers are gone. So because all the manufacturers are gone, at least in New York City, we're letting them tear down almost every building that's in sight, just tear it down. I mean, huge blocks of buildings. Now they're coming after the churches to tear them down, and they're doing it in the name of construction. But construction for who? We're building, when I talk to the builders, I actually go to these sites and I talk to the builders. And the reason why they're building these glass buildings is not because they're efficient, not because they hold heat better or you can cool them better. They build them glass because they're cheaper to build and get them up faster. Who do they go to? Sometimes they go to nobody, because now you can leave it empty for as long as you want until you find the renter with the right rent to pay. And you can just write that off your taxes at the end of the year. So I think that there's going to be a problem here, because when you start talking about construction, and so many people don't have jobs in this country, they're willing to sell themselves out to get that job. I mean, always said this was always dicey when we worked to stop the Home Depot and Costco here in my neighborhood, because they took 11 businesses through eminent domain to create this monster store. And I remember when the construction workers came in, and it was so intimidating. These were the unions and these are the construction workers. And it was scary because they were so determined, and they couldn't understand that these construction jobs, yeah, they are jobs, but they're only jobs for 6 months. And I got to tell you that my family is in construction. My father was in the Carpenters Union, and as was my great-grandfather and my grandfather. So I do understand about needing to have a job and about construction, but I also know that no construction job lasts really any more than a year most of the time. So what we're doing is we're tearing our society apart to have temporary jobs. And that's because we don't manufacture anything anymore. We don't have a system. We have a system of just selling things. And if you're not part, and if you're not in that kind of a job, then you just don't have a job. So I think I understand what you're saying, but I also, I'm going to, I think there's other people looking the other way because I think everybody thinks they're going to get a little piece of this, and they're willing to do that. They're willing to look the other way to get a little piece of whatever the crumbs is that are being thrown down.
I'm sure that they are. But my focus also is, what the heck are we doing? What are we doing? And we call ourselves, you know, progressives and political activists and whatnot. What are we doing when 800,000 people and now people on food stamps are threatened, and we see nothing. We see no action.
Right.
We see no reaction. That's the
question.
Right.
And I think the left is almost dead. Honestly, everyone's asleep at the wheel. Nobody's really, you know, doing anything. I mean, I consider myself as far to the left as you can go, but I got to tell you, I get a little sick and tired of hearing just the analysis. I hear wonderful analysis and great arguments for why things are the way they are. Everybody knows why it's so bad, but nobody is willing to do jack squat to change it. They won't come out. They won't help with anything. Nobody pitches in. I mean, and it makes it very, very hard. So, you know, I mean, I'm glad we've analyzed the whole thing. We've analyzed it to death. And the things that we need to do are pretty straight up and forward. And there is a lack of willingness to do anything. There's a lack of anybody that I know of that's really willing to do service. But they are certainly willing to sit around like a bunch of fat cats and discuss the issue until it's as dead as a horse. They beat it like a horse. So I don't know too many people that are willing to get involved and do anything. People are afraid.
We ignore it at our peril. I mean, we ourselves, we don't seem to understand that we on the line. Thanks a lot, Gwen, for your call today.
Thank you.
Luis from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, Chase. Happy 2019.
Oh. Thank you.
I have no answers to your questions, but the questions aren't new. Over 100 years ago, William Butler Yeats wrote, "Things fall apart, the center cannot hold, near anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity." I thought of that while you were talking, and I'm sorry I can't answer either you or Yeats. But the situation is not new.
We know the situation is not new, but in a sense it is, because it's happening now, and it shouldn't be happening.
And I don't disagree with
what
you.
What also should not be happening is this malaise, this intentional uninvolvement in a situation where there's every reason for people to basically participate in this democratic process to protect democracy itself. We have a renegade president.
In the teachers union. We had a horrible union leader named Randy Weingarten, and the last contract we were offered was an abomination. It gave us longer hours. It weakened seniority, and weakened teachers' rights. And I fought against it. I distributed leaflets. I talked to people. But what I found out from my involvement in the campaign against this contract is that people are afraid to lose what they have. The contract was terrible. People were going to have to work more hours and stay every third Friday for like 3 unpaid hours. But, you know, they didn't want to risk what they have. And maybe that's what we have to wait for until people have lost almost everything and have nothing more to lose. Maybe that's when we'll see some reaction. Love you, Utrice. Have a great 2019. And, you know, keep preaching. I'm in the...
Thank you very much, Luis, and thank you so much for your call. David from Brooklyn.
Nice to talk with you. To me, it's relatively simple. fascism has reached the finish line. Fascism is here, and it's in full effect. I mean, what Trump is doing with the wall and so forth is just a tactic to draw attention away from the ruling class, who has developed to a point where it has reached a viable fascist state. And that's what I see. The point is that no attention by the masses of people who support their system is on the people who are the devils, the ruling class, the capitalist class that runs the country. No attention's on them. Trump is putting all attentions off onto the so-called rapists and murderers and, you know, these pathetic people who are poor because of American imperialism. I mean, you know, you got a nice scapegoat. And you can have your nice fascist state, which the United States has turned into. People use the word democracy all the time. What are they talking about? Democracy, to me, means a government that is serving the interests of the people. This government doesn't serve the interests of the people. This government serves the interests of the ruling class. People need to get this. And I don't know what we're talking about. And when we talk about things that have nothing to do with the interests of the people, and our attention is drawn away from really the real culprits in the condition of people who are flatlining their incomes and are suffering in many different ways, as a few people, as been mentioned, are making all the money and having all the wealth. It's just ridiculous. Our attention is being drawn away, and the masses of people are easily manipulated by, in this country, the system of white supremacy, racism. If people want to read Third Allen's book on this, or read about Jeff Perry and people like that. But the point is that people don't get it. What a ridiculous thing to spend, when they talk about $5.7 billion, that's possibly just for starters. By the time that wall would be finished, it'd be a lot more money. At the same time, people are suffering from deprivation and lack of housing. People have food insecurity. People are loaded down with debt. All these things. At the same time, the federal budget, at least half or more of it, goes towards military expenses that we do not need. We do not need planes and tanks and aircraft carriers and 800 overseas bases and all these things. The tension is put on, terribly suffering people coming from these countries in Central and South America. So what I'm saying is that we're a subject to a giant game by the ruling class. The ruling class in this country, the capitalist ruling class, has developed the game so well, it tricks the masses of people, it used the white supremacy racism technique, and it works very well. So people don't understand. People do not understand what is happening to them. And that's the situation we are with right now.
Thank you, David. We leave it right there because we're out of time. But thank you always for your insightful words. Thank you very much. And that brings us to the end of our program today. I departed from what I had intended to do, but it was I had a miserable weekend just thinking and pondering this question. What is wrong with us? Why can't we see what is happening and then mobilize against it? Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.